Romans chapter 12. Let's read from verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, I'm reading from the King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, or ye, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and some translations say worship. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, or ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you'll notice, what does it say? It says in verse 2, something we shouldn't do and something we should do. We shouldn't be conformed to this world, and we should be transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here, the Holy Ghost inspired Paul to write, here's something you shouldn't do and something that you should do. You can see that. So this word transformation, of course, that we've shared before, is the word, really the word, or the origin of the word, metamorphosis. So this is saying here, we can be changed. It says, be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind. So we can actually be changed into another form or another person, if you would. Not another form, but you understand what I mean, another person. Someone that's not like ourselves right now. We're thinking one way, and we can literally be thinking like a brand new person, a different person. Just like our spirits were changed instantly, so that our spirits that were dead were made alive. We were changed, but our minds weren't changed. So that means we can be changed. It's saying, be ye transformed, so we can be changed literally by the power of God to think like God. We can actually think his thoughts. We can actually have his desires and his direction. We can think like him. Now what the scripture says? You have the mind of Christ. You say, well, I sure don't think like him, but you can. That's the wonderful news. We can think like him. And this is what he's saying here. We've talked about that as we think on his thoughts. This is what we were sharing in the previous lesson. Let me read some of the other translations that we've read. New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. This is the New Living Translation. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This is what's happening here. That we will literally be changed into a new person. How? By the way we think. And that transformation is coming about through meditating upon his thoughts, his words. And that's what the scripture says in Joshua 1:8. Don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it. What does it say? Day and night. It says that thou may and that thou mayest observe to do all that is accord, that is written therein. For then thou shalt have good success or prosperous and make your way, and or it says you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. So our thoughts, this transformation comes about by the renewing of our minds. And so as we were sharing Sunday, we are different. We're not to conform to this world. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are brand new creatures in Christ. We are different. And we are not to be like the world. We're to be in this world, but we're not to conform to it. We're to go in and to do what? Show the love of Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said? Be a city set like a candle. Be a city set like on a hill. Don't put that candle under a bushel basket. So in other words, you're not to be hidden. You're to be seen. You're to show the love of Christ. And so this is what we've taught in all these lessons leading up to this. How can I operate in the love of God? I don't think like that. I don't act in the love of God. I don't measure up. You can think like another person. You can become another person so that I can literally love unlovely people. I can love people that are ornery. I can be nice. And not in my own strength, but through his thoughts, his power that's working in me. And that transformation takes place, how? Through the word of God. No, you can't love people in your own ability, but through his ability, through his words, through his meditating on his words, I can be changed. I can be transformed into another person to love and to operate in the faith of God and do the things that we're supposed to do here in this earth. And so this, as we were touching, I want to touch and expand a little bit upon this tonight. We were talking about what is a thought. A thought is not nothing. A thought is spiritual. And I want to kind of throw that, expand that a little bit here. And as we were sharing Sunday, you can't touch a thought. You can't see a thought, but you can see the results of a thought. So those thoughts, just like you can't see the wind, you can see the results of the wind. You can't see a thought, but you can see the results of a thought. And of course, I through the years have heard others teach on this, Charles Capps, others have touched on this and shared on it. But we don't think in words. We think in images. When you say dog, you don't see D-O-G. You see an image of a dog. And so we think in images. And what's you know, and I want to expand upon this, is that thought or that image that you have, you're made in the what? The image and likeness of God. Let's go over there just for a moment. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. Let's look at that for a moment. It says, and God said, this is Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in what? Our image, after our likeness. And then it says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God, who did? God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, he him, male and female. We are created in the image and likeness of God. What does that mean? When God, before he spoke or made man, he had an image of man. He had an image of light. And then he did what? He articulated that in what? In words. Well, think about that. We also have that ability to see something and to do what? By words, we're able to do what? Encapsulate or put in words what we see, right? So I'm going somewhere with this a little bit here, and we're all talking about thinking and our thinking, what we think. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 18. And it says, while we look not at what? The things which are what? Seen. This isn't something we see, an image, something we see. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And so we can see here that if we see something with our eyes, it's what? Temporal. It's not eternal. If I see something with my eyes, it's temporal. That means it's a wonderful thing. That means if we're walking through something, if we're walking through a difficult stage in your life, or you're walking through some challenges, it is temporal. It's going to change. Isn't that wonderful news? It says that which we, what does it say? For the things which are seen are temporal. That means the stuff you walk through is temporal. It's going to change. It may not feel great when you're walking through it, but you can say, glory to God, I can see it. That means it's changing. It's got to change. It's got to change. Hallelujah. But the things which are not seen are what? Are eternal. What did Jesus say? I'm just going to just reference some scriptures. John 5, he said, but what he seeth the Father do, those are the things that he did. What did he say? The things he saw. The things he saw his Father do. He saw something that his Father did. So he showed him what? Images. He showed him images in his spirit, and he did what? He acted those out, or he spoke them out. Isn't that good news? So we're in 2 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 3. And let's look at verse 12. This is so exciting right here to me. Chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians and verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is what? Done away where? In Christ. Oh, glory to God. That means there's no veil. There's nothing hidden that has been revealed or will not be revealed. Amen. Who's the revealer of truth? The Holy Ghost. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That's good news. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Liberty. Not bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That means joy. That doesn't mean depression. That means goodness. That means an uplifting. That means I'm not defeated. There's liberty. Or you could say in the Amplified, it says, I'm emancipated. I'm free. I've been set free. Right? But what does verse 18 say? But we all, with open face, see, we're not, the veil isn't hiding us now. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed. We are changed, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed from what? Into the same image. Remember, we just got done reading. We've been made into the what? The image of God. But this is saying here, we are changed into the image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here's the question, the Amplified, it says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured. That word transformed is transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So here's the question one has to ask. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Because he said here, but we all with open face beholding. So the question becomes, what are you looking at? What are you beholding? Because you will become what you behold. You will become what you behold. He just said here, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed. Into what? His very image, the same image. So that means, what are we beholding? You will become what you behold. He just said here, what you behold, you're changed. Isn't that exciting? I think that's exciting. Let's take a look just briefly. Let's jump a few chapters over to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But just for now, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. And starting at verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus... Well, let me back up to 16. It says, cease not to give thanks, or let me 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he's praying for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding. What are you seeing? The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you can see here, Paul is praying that they would see who they are in Christ. He's praying that they would see who they are in Christ. What's the image that they have of themselves? What have they been looking at? What have they been meditating upon? What have they been thinking or beholding? Paul's praying that they would see who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, what God says about them in his word. What are his thoughts about them? See? This is what Paul is saying here. He's praying. When he said, I cease not, where after I heard of your faith in the Lord. So you can see here, if we don't see that, then we're beholding something else. We're thinking about something else. And we need to make some corrections there. Let me just remind us of a scripture. Psalm 119, 130, it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. So when you look at that scripture, most of the other translations, the Amplified says, the entrance and unfolding of your words. I like this. This is the Holman Christian Bible. It says, the revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding. So you could really say, transformation comes about through revelation, not just reading the scriptures. Transformation comes about. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying we don't read the scripture? Yes, you keep reading and you're reading and you're reading. But as you keep reading it, revelation comes and light comes. And what happens? You're changed because you do what? You see something. And God says to you, you're this, you're that. You begin to see who you are in Christ. You begin to behold a different image of yourself through his thoughts. You begin to see like God sees you. You begin to see, wait a minute, God sees me this way. I don't care what people think now. I see myself this way now. I don't see myself as defeated anymore. I see myself as an overcomer. I see myself as healed. I see myself as prosperous. I begin to see. So transformation really comes about through the letting in of God's word. And as we continue to let it in, light comes, it's unfolded and revealed. So, you know, we say revelation, that's what it is. The revealing of God's word causes a transformation. Do you see that? So that's why it's important that what we think of, what we behold, this is why when it says here, let's go back to 2 Corinthians again. When it says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the image, into his image. Where this says here, into the same image, from glory to glory, even as how? By the Spirit of the Lord. So it is vitally important what we behold, what we're beholding, what we've set our attention upon. You know, what did we read the other day? I'm trying to remember what that particular translation that I was reading from. Let me just see if I can quickly find it. Yeah, Romans 12:2. This is the Message translation. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. It says, instead, fix your attention on God. That's beholding. That's setting your attention, fixing my attention on him. I'm beholding him and his word. And so as we do that, as we let his thoughts in, he begins to change. He begins to literally put inside of us his image of us, what he thinks about us, how he sees us. That's how the transformation takes place, through the power of God, through his word. So as I said, transformation comes about through revelation. So, and again, this transformation, as we shared, doesn't happen all at once. It's what? From glory to glory. So if, you know, sometimes what's happening to me, I don't know about you, but as we continue to meditate upon the word, as we continue to think about his thoughts, things that I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, he said, no, I don't want you to do that anymore. Don't do that. You know, you may think, well, and it doesn't have to be anything significant. I remember when Leanne Sozeby was here. She was talking about how she would come home tired from teaching in the school and the Bible Training Center and just want to sit and watch TV a little bit. And the Lord told her, nope, turn it off. Because you're letting things in that I don't want you to. See, so again, it don't have to be anything bad. It's just like, no, I don't want that. I don't want you to look at that. That can be for a period of time, or it could just be for you personally because of what God wants to do and transform in you. You see what I'm saying? So we're not here to say watching television is bad. Don't anybody get in a guilt trip over it, but be open to the Holy Ghost. Be open for His direction for who? For you. And let Him transform you. Let Him direct you as to how He wants to go about and do that. You see what I mean? And so there's things God's saying to me, don't read that, turn it off. Be led by the Spirit. I know, you know, sometimes I'll turn the news on, and lately I just get in a check. I'm like, no. And you know, sometimes, you know how you test it? You just sit and watch it for a while, a little more, and you don't act on it, and it's like, it doesn't feel comfortable. Because He doesn't want me to listen to it, to form opinions about what's going on in society so that I have second thoughts about something. He knows me better than I do. So He's saying, no, turn that off. And I have been. Click, turn it off. Not watching it. I'm not beholding that. I'm not going to listen to that and think about that and form some kind of opinion, because guess what? God is saying, that's not my opinion. That's not my thoughts. My thoughts are, there isn't one political party or two. He's saying, I said to pray for all men who are in authority. And so don't form your opinions about things. Get my thoughts on the inside. And that's really what He's saying. When we do that, guess what? When we act on it, it could be just a little thing. He could say, turn it off. And you go, no, I don't want to. And He said, okay, your choice. You can do it, but you won't be changed. You won't be transformed because you're not obeying my directions. Right? And that's really what He's saying. When we get to a certain point and He wants to reveal and show Himself in a greater way, He's saying, okay, don't do that. And you go, but I don't want to do that. I said, okay. He'll just stand there and wait for you to get it together. And then when you do, He begins to do what? Reveal more of Himself, His thoughts, His heart. Right? This is what we're talking about. What does the scripture say? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what we begin to think on, what we behold, see, that's why I say, when you begin to look at things, you behold something, you begin to do what? Think about it. And that's really what he wants us to do, is to, this transformation piece is things that we think on. Amen. So as we were saying before, what I was sharing is when we have a thought, we think more in images and pictures. You know, that's just the way we are. We're made in His image and likeness. You know, let me ask a question. When you smell something that's good to eat, sometimes we think about an image of something that was from our childhood or something that was good. We see something. We don't see the word hamburger. No, you see the picture of some ribs or a pork chop or something. You see something. Don't you not? Don't you? You certainly do. You don't see words. You see an image of something. And that smell or that picture of something causes you to think about it. I'm going to have me some. Right? That's just the truth. So God is saying, for things... And so that's just one thing for food. But what I'm talking about is, what if you're thinking about or looking at or beholding something that's not what God thinks about you? What if you're thinking on and beholding that I'm a failure? And you think about that and you behold that. That isn't what God thinks about you. So one has to remind themselves that if they have those images of themselves as a failure, if they have an image of themselves, where did that image come from? Who put that image in your thinking? I'll never get out of here. I'll never have this. I'll never own this. And you begin to have those images of yourself. That isn't the way God sees you. So the only way to correct that is to change what you behold or what you think on. And this is what he's saying here. But we, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into his image. His word is his glory. His word is his power. So we're to behold and look into his word and see and behold what he has an image of us of. He sees us a certain way. If you don't see yourself that way, then you're not thinking like God thinks. You've taken on an image that didn't come from God. Is that not true? So if anybody begins and see, this is the thing. Somebody could walk up to you and say, or people could convey, you know, whatever they want to say about you. If it's not God inspired, then it's not his image of you. And you need to cast that down, reject it. That's not what God thinks of me. That's exactly what Jesus did when the devil wanted to say something to him. He said, what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. That ought to be our response. So this image that he has of us can be in us. And so this is what we're saying, you know, when we, you know, you as Bible students, when you run into people that have a defeated image of themselves, you know how to handle that. You can say, well, God doesn't think that of you. I don't think that of you. If you have God's thoughts about people, then you ought to have the same image that God has of people, that they're not failures, that they're not defeated. God loves people and we love people. And so we need to project God's image of what he thinks about people through us. And we need to project that or express it. When we run into people, we need to be ready to share with people as led, not hit people up the side of the head with the Bible, but as we're led to share with people comfortably, because they're going to have to receive it. Most people say, you know, after you share something very positive to them, they'll say, well, you know, usually this will say, well, I sure hope so. I sure hope that's what he thinks about me. Well, he does. He does. And you can say, I do too. I think good thoughts about you. So the devil, what does the scripture say? We know this. He comes to do what? To kill, to steal, and to do what?
Destroy.
To destroy. So whenever you see people, when they're in a position where they're not seeing themselves as God sees them, then they've taken on images and thoughts about themselves that didn't come from God. It didn't. That's just the bottom line. And we need to express that. You need to say, God came so that you would have life and life more abundantly. God came so that you'd be an overcomer. And he's given you the ability to do that, but you're going to have to make a choice. It's not just going to, as Brother Hagin used to say, he's not just going to drop on you like ripe red cherries off the tree. He said, you're going to have to make a choice to feed upon his word and meditate on it. How? Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. So that image of you has got to be meditated upon day and night. Not just every once in a while. Because otherwise, sometimes transformation is going to take, it's going to be harder. We've got to meditate upon that and that only. Everybody understand that? Because you're in this world, you're not of it. And this is the thing. You know, we'll just close with this, that when you look at, think about what we were sharing on Sunday, the woman with the issue of blood. You know, all through Jesus' ministry, people either saw him do something, he either spoke or he laid hands on people, or he spoke and something was changed. People saw an image of something, right? They saw a healing, or they heard through someone who saw something. So they saw something that Jesus did, and then they began to pronounce it and express that, right? So they began to articulate in words what they saw. And so really, when you see like the woman with the issue of blood, she heard of Jesus. She heard of something that he had just done. And it was noised abroad. And what did she do? She was convinced. So she heard of something. So that's why I say she heard what he was willing to do. They heard his thoughts. And it changed them. It transformed their thinking. And so the same way with us. As we continue to think upon the Word of God, as we begin to behold it, we're going to be changed and transformed into what? A brand new person. Into, as it said, we're going to be changed into His image from glory to glory. We're going to be changed into another person, another representation of ourselves. You're still going to look the same, but you're not going to think the same. You're going to think different. And I tell you, this to me answers, for me it does, why we reach a certain point and we don't go any further. You know how we always use that, let's go deeper. Okay, it's not going to be through, you know, people laying hands on you. That I'm not putting down the gifts of the Spirit. It's not going to be, you know, having joy in the Holy Ghost. That's good. But it didn't say transformation is going to come from laying hands on, prophecy over you, or joy in the Holy Ghost. All of those are good. But this says here, transformation, the change, is going to come through the renewing of your mind. That's where it's going to come from. And that, to me, answers why the devil fights this so much. He gets us off into, as Brother Hagin said, off in the ditch, not staying down the middle of the road. It's what I heard this minister share. He's overseas right now. He said, if you find any church highlighting the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, all of these things above the Word of God, run from it. Because the gifts of the Spirit follow the preaching and teaching of the Word. So this is what he's saying. So this transformation in us comes from us meditating and beholding His Word. Getting an image of ourselves through the Word of God as God sees us. And as we begin, that's what I'm saying, transformation comes through the revealing and revelation of the Word of God. I begin to say, whoa, no way am I that way. I'm this way now. I think different because I am different. And how did that come? That came through revelation or the revealing of yourself in the Word of God. Isn't that good news? That's exciting to me. That it can happen no matter where you are. In your Christian walk, there can be more. There's more to change, you reach a certain point and you go, man, all this God's doing in my life, there's still more. There's still more. That's good. That's so exciting to me. So he has what? He's made us in his image. He's made us in his image. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The more you think about this, the more you meditate upon it, you begin to say, oh no, God's got so much greatness in me and in you that we cannot afford any image or any thoughts that we have of ourselves that don't measure up to the way God sees us need to be thrown out. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are made in your image and likeness. And we thank you, Father, that your word, as it comes into our hearts, as we meditate upon it day and night, we thank you that revelation is continuing to come, line upon line, from glory to glory. And we thank you that we are being changed into his image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we thank you that through the power of your word, you're changing us into your image. You're transfiguring us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. This is what I was sharing on Sunday. That account back in 1936 of the Shining One movement, or the East African Revival. It talked about they began to, through the Holy Ghost, they began to be uncomfortable with sin. That's what it talked about. It said the Holy Ghost moved upon them and they became uncomfortable with things they were doing. God revealed to them, no, don't do that. They became uncomfortable and they began to repent and they began to change. And it says, over time, they began to shine. Their skin began to shine. And I've heard Brother Hagin talk about it. If you listen to enough of his tapes, he said back in his early ministry, he was ministering somewhere, and this lady said, your face began to shine. That's the glory of God. And so there are accounts, and I'm sure if we dug enough, we'd hear of other accounts like it. But it's happening, and it is happening all over. And I'm telling you, we're going to see more of it. And people are going to see it. They're going to see the glory of God upon us. As we are changed from glory to glory. Into what? Into his image. Hallelujah. Glory to God.